Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Food Podcast. And today, I am going to be discussing the Chelsea versus Morecambe FA Cup match. Round three. It is... Before I get into the preview... excuse me. There's a couple of things I just want to say. Firstly, is a congratulations to Frank Lampard and his wife Christine. She announced on Instagram that they're expecting another baby, which, as I said, congratulations. One thing I will say before I move on is that some of the messages that she's received and they've received and all that. Many are jokey ones about Mount, he's going to be a brother and all that. But there are a few, and I reported him on Twitter, one in particular. He turned and said that he hopes Christine has a miscarriage, which was just sickening to hear. And yeah, it's just shit like people don't deserve. But yeah, as I said, congratulations to the pair of them. It's gonna be a happy time, let's put it this way. And then another thing that I wanted to mention is a Twitter account that I follow, We Are the Shed. They did a fundraiser during the week for a banner to be put up inside Stamford Bridge itself. Going by their name, I'm assuming it's in the Shed End. And it was a banner with Lampard's face. They've got a picture of the banner up on their Twitter account. And in big letters it says, "In Lampard we trust." And personally I agree. It's gonna be a process. It's not going to be an easy process. Let's get that cleared up straight away. But it's going to take time. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be iffy moments. There's going to be moments where you look at it and you go, oh my God, this is tragic. Like we played against City. Like we played against Arsenal. But on the flip side, there are other things that are good as well. Like, for example, none of these academy players that we've got either in our first team now or that have been called up this week would ever have a shot under other managers. And that's one thing that's good. Last season, Lampard overachieved. Let's be real. He overachieved. We lost 49% of our goal contributions from the season under Sarri. With Eden Hazard leaving. Transfer ban. Granted, yes, we got in Pulisic. But Pulisic isn't Hazard. And we promoted a load of youth players. And no one at the start of last season gave us a hope in hell of making top four. And we did. And that, I think, is one of the big reasons it sped up Lampard's timeline. Because I think if we hadn't made top four last season, I don't think many of us would have moaned, because we were expecting not to at the start of the season. It's because we got it last season, and then with the additions of Werner, Havertz, Ziyech, etc. And people think now that with them we should be challenged for a league. It's not going to happen this season. And I believe if we stick with Lampard, give him the time he needs, we will win a league under him. I'd bet on it if I could. But that's how much I think it will happen. But moving in to the Morecambe game, coming up tomorrow, 1:30 in the afternoon, UK time. there were bits and pieces in Lampard's press conference. I've literally just wrote down a few notes. He turned and said that last season it would have been nice to win the final, obviously. But he also points out that last season's objective was to get in the top four. And we achieved that. He then said the FA Cup's a fantastic competition. And that no team should be underestimated and that you should respect everyone. Because you see fairy tales happening all the time. And it proves it when you got Tottenham playing a team called Marine from the 8th tier of English League football. So it can happen. Now, there have been 5 players called up from either the development squad or the youth team, and they are as follows. Lampard said, you got the 2 Tinos, so that's Andrin and Livramento, Lewis Bate, Henry Lawrence, and Jude Soonsop Bell. Now, all of them have made either 12 or 13 appearances this season, except Andrin, who has made 7 appearances this season in their respective teams. I'll go through the development guys first. Livramento and Lawrence as defenders. They have 1 goal each. Bate has no goals. But he's not. I don't think he's meant to be. And then Andrin, in the 7 games he's played, has 5 goals. I don't know the number of assists each of them have, I'll be totally honest. But the one that's most impressive is, and regardless of level, Jude Soonsop Bell. He has played 12 times this season, as I've said. But he has scored 16 goals. He has played 986 minutes of football this season. And that averages one goal every 61.6 minutes. So every 2 games, he's scoring 3 goals, basically. So every 2 games, he's scoring 3 goals. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing them all play in the first team. I'm not a big expert on academy football. I know the names. I know if they're doing well because I see it here and there, but I don't watch it as frequent as maybe as I should. But Jude has stood out this season because of the numbers he's getting. And as I said, I hope we see him. I've written up a lineup here, and what I think we will go with. And I've gone for 4-2-3-1. I know I've got into the lineup pretty quickly. I've gone Kepa in goal, Livramento and Lawrence as our fullbacks. If we don't use both of them, I think because they're listed as both right backs, I think one of them will play either one of them will play a right back. Reece is out, rest Aspi. And then if the other doesn't play at left back, Emerson will play at left back. So that's the caveat there. I think Rudiger and either Fikayo or Zuma as the centre-backs. Rudiger's definitely playing, let's put it that way. Christensen's out, which has already been confirmed. And then who knows who the other one's going to be. As I said, I don't think it'll be Silva. It'll either be Tomori or Zuma. So moving into the 2, I'm going to go Billy and Bate. We've got to play Gilmore. It's as simple as that. And the way I see it, what's the point in calling up Bate if you're not going to play him? And it's the same as the others. So that's three of the five called up. I think the three behind the striker, if we play, this is all if we play 4-2-3-1. The three I'd go with behind the striker would be Andrian on the left, because he did well there against, who was it? Krasnodar. I'd go Callum on the right because he deserves to play. And to try and put him in a bit of form, I know he got an assist the other day. Kai Havertz, I'd play him in a 10. I would play Kai Havertz in a 10. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute, because up front, I think it'll be Jude. However, if we don't start Suntop Bell, we have to play Timo up front. We have to. Now, in my opinion, I think, as I said, I think Jude will start up front. It is as simple as that. If he doesn't, then because the other two are scoring, if we go with Timo up front, he can get a goal or two against these lot. Obviously, it's all hypothetical, but I believe he could. Just to kick Fiery's goals going again and to get his confidence up. And he needs it, basically. I mean, there are many other formations we can go. 4-3-1-2, play a double striker of Jude and Timo with Kai in behind them. There's many different ways we can go about this. But ultimately, what I've picked is what I think we'll go with. I think Morecambe won't just turn up to sit back, get slapped and leave. I think they know they're not expected to win. I think they're going to go for us, you know. I really do. They're not just going to come here, like come to a bridge, park the bus and nick a 1-0. I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to look at a lineup and they're going to see our form, for one. And I know they're a League 2 team, but let's not disrespect them just because they're a League 2 team. We've seen worse. We've seen bigger things happen, like bigger shocks happen. A few years ago, the year we won the league under Jose, we lost 4-2 in the FA Cup to Bradford. So it happens. And yeah, I mean, play Kai and Timo, get them firing. And then we've got the rest of the players, and Callum as well, because he deserves to play, as I said. We need to get goals out of Timo and get assists out of Kai. And I've gone in my play predictor, I've gone for a very heavy scoreline. Can't believe I did it. Because, as I said, I think they will come at us. And I also think that in doing so, they leave themselves open. And I think if whichever one plays of Timo or Jude, they'll exploit it. And ultimately, in my predictor, I've gone for 7-1. I know. It's crazy. But 7-1. I think we will get back into form in a way that makes it look like we have absolutely battered them. I think they will score. I think it'll be an unfortunate error by the likes of I don't know, maybe one of the new kids. I say kids. They're not. I mean, Jude technically is a kid because he's not 18 yet, but. Well, actually, I don't know how the old others are. But I know it was a big thing because Jude was born in 2004. Oh my God. The kid's nearly 10. He's 10 years younger than me, nearly. He's 9 years younger than me, and he's looking like he's about to debut in the first team of the team I've supported since before he was born. Roman has been in charge of this club his entire life. If I'm not mistaken, when he was born, Jose was our manager. That's how crazy young he is. And the way I see it, in terms of football, if they're good enough, they're old enough. Grant, yes, he's 16 years old. Fair enough. But if he's scoring every 61 minutes in the academy, why not give him a chance? Against a team that, with all due respect and no disrespect meaning at all, that we should be beating and beating comfortably. Why not give him a run out? So I think we'll go 4-2-3-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if we do go 4-3-1-2. And the back four will stay the same, in my opinion, but the midfield will be Billy, Bate, and Kai. That's the midfield three. Andrew in the 10. And then Timo and Soon Bell up front. I think either one of them will happen. Because the Lawrence and Livermento or Emerson and either one of the other two, whatever combination of fullback we go, I think they have the energy to get up and down the pitch. I don't know why I'm scribbling on my pad because yous can't see it. I'm scribbling as if yous can see what I'm writing down. But they can run up and down the wings all day. Because, put it simply, they've got the energy to do it. And if we play a narrow two up front with Andrin in the 10, Kai in midfield, or vice versa, like whichever one, I think they'll be the two roaming ones. Unless we play... But then that's, again, unfair on Callum. Completely unfair on Callum. I really don't know. Put it this way, right? I wouldn't want to be Frank Lampard right now because he has got a selection headache on his hands. Does he go Jude for 60 minutes and then brings on Timo? Plays a 4-2-3-1 with Kai, Andrew and Callum behind Soonside Bell. And then on 60 minutes, sub off Bell. And bring on Werner. Does he do that? Basically, I think Kai and Werner need to play to punch him into form, basically. And to play him into form. Callum needs to play because he deserves it. The back four are playing because we... Well, the back four and Mendy are playing because we need rest. Kante's out. Jorginho has been meh. And Kovacic had a shocker against City. So Billy needs to play on that merit. Bate, I think, will play because we're playing Morecambe, has given him a debut. It's like when we played Grimsby last season and Lampard played Martson, Gerhi. I'm pretty sure he played Billy as well for his full debut. Right. There's so many different options Lampard has, and as I said, I wouldn't want to be him right now, but we need to rest Pulisic before he does his hammy again. Ziyech has only just come back, so don't push him in too quickly. Giroud and Tammy are both scoring, so they don't really need to play this game to punch him into form a bit. Timo needs a goal. Suntuk Bell needs a debut. So I think it will be, it might even be Jude gets first half, Timo gets second half. Or vice versa sort of thing. I think both of them will play at some point. Obviously, you stack the bench out with the likes of Pulisic. Right, let me just... I'm noting this down. Pulisic, Ziyech, Tammy, Ollie. So I think we are allowed 9 subs. I think it'll be Caballero as the goalkeeper. So that's 5. So that's Ollie. 2 strikers, 2 wingers. Jorginho. Kova. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Dave. And probably Chile. Yeah, if we're allowed 9 subs on our bench, it'll be Caballero, Aspi, Chilwell, because Aspi can play centre back. Midfield will be Jorginho and Kovacic, and then we'll have the likes of Pulisic, Ziyech, Tammy, and Ollie on there ready. On the basically, if shit hits the fan and we need them and we're losing by some miracle by them, they're there to then come on and sort it out, basically. And as I said, I said my scoreline. And yeah, I know I've gone very, very bold with saying it, but we've got the team there. And as I said, no disrespect, but they're a team we should be beating. We should be beating them comfortably. And I think if Kai and if Timo are playing together in their actual position, and I sound like a broken record here, and I know position really shouldn't be a factor when they're floating and roaming all around the place. But what it does is if Lampard says to Werner, you are up front today, it gives him not a confidence boost, but more of a sigh of relief. Because when he's playing left wing, he's got to go up and back. And he's got to give support to the likes of Chilwell in the league and etc. Same as Ziyech on the right, when against City, Ziyech didn't help Dave out at all. And Aspi was just getting caught out so many times by that combination of Foden, Roman, De Bruyne, Gundogan, all of them. He was getting caught out by all of them because as brilliant as Aspi's been, no man can defend 4-on-1. And it was always, it was minimum 2-on-1 against Aspi. So he had a lot of problems against Man City. So that's why, another reason why I've gone for 4-2-3-1, because then not only have you got Callum or Ziyech or whoever's playing in that, who can then cover and protect the right back, you've then got the right hand and the pivot who can come across and protect the right back, and then you got the right back himself. So that's three players. But then you've still got plenty in the midfield to stack that out as well. 4-2-3-1, I think, is the most balanced formation. And ooh. So I've got Newcastle versus Arsenal on the TV right now. Andy Carroll just had a quite a decent shot, actually. Well, decent work shot, but Leno caught it easily. It's 0-0 for anyone who was curious. But yeah, going back to it, the 4-2-3-1, it gives such a balance because, as I said, the midfield's stacked. And any number, like you can have, so on the left, you can then go bang, 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 straight across. Like, so like tomorrow, for example, I've put Bate on the left at a pivot. He can then float out and help out either Emerson or Lawrence, whoever plays at left back. And then Andrin can come back and help out as well. And then if the ball gets switched over to the right-hand side, you've then got the three on the right-hand side who I just mentioned. Hudson-Odoi, Billy, and whoever plays right back. So it's a very effective formation. And then you've got the likes of the three behind the striker who can all swap and interchange and combine and whatnot. And it creates a headache for everyone involved, like defending it. And then that, because they're so swappy and changey, it pulls defenders out of position, allows a Timo run straight through the middle and a goal. I know it sounds so simple when you break it down like that, but I know it isn't. I'm not going to try and pretend it isn't simple. But at the end of the day, these are professional players. And the one thing that has been pissing me off in the, well, besides losing, because I hate losing, how have you missed that? Oh, I was offside anyway. No mind. Yeah, like, the one, besides losing, the one thing that's been pissing me off is the fact that I know I've said it God knows how many times on this podcast. We get it wide, we cross it in, they defend it. We go wide, they cross it in, they defend it. Every single damn time. I would really love to know the stats on the crosses that we've had cleared this season by the opposition. Because I guarantee it's easily near 100. Easily. Say what, we've had what, 17 games in the league? And if it's 5 a game, that's 85 crosses that have been cleared. But it seems to be more than that. So we might be looking about 150, 200. And that's not an exaggerating number either. That's how many times we seem to cross it in and it gets cleared. Now, I know not all of them are cleared. Like, the Wolves goal was a cross, a low cross, to be fair. And it went in. Corners, I'm not counting, because when we're crossing them in open play, our centre-backs aren't forward. So it's just so annoying, because it's literally the same shit all the time. As I said, I said it tongue-in-cheek, but it seems to be like Lampard's got a speech impediment around the training ground. Right, I want to play Frank ball. But what comes out is flank ball. It's got to be. And either that or they mishear him and they think, yeah, let's get a wide cross in, get a wide cross in, get a wide cross in. We need to go down the middle more. Now, I'm not saying just go down the middle every single time. What I'm trying to basically get at is mix it up, for fuck's sake, please. Just mix it. You have to mix it, because then you become predictable. What happened under Wenger with Arsenal? Arsenal were a ticky-tacker, pass inside. What did teams do? They just closed their doors and went, break us down then. Because Arsenal just tried to pass through them every single time. No, nothing different. No crosses in, no shots from outside the box, nothing. That's why people used to take the piss and say they used to try and walk it in every time. So, again, under Conte, first season it worked, but second season, once it got caught out, it didn't. You sit back, you counter-attack. You sit back, you counter-attack. What if then teams sit off you and go, all right, you want to counter us? Go on then. We will let you have the ball, and then what? You're fucked. So if you stick to just one way, and it was, again, the same under Sarri, everyone knew that Sarri used to like passing along the middle. You go forward, no, you close the door, you come back, you go along the middle. Sideways. Because in front of them was a brick wall followed by another brick wall of the opposition every single time. Difference is under Sarri, under Conte, under Jose the second time round, we had a very special player. A man who actually celebrated his 30th birthday the other day. And that man is none other than Eden fucking Hazard. Like, when we had him, he could single-handedly change the tide of a match. Who have we got in our team now? As it stands, who does that? Pulisic, yes. But he's mostly injured. Or when he is on the pitch, he's got three around him. Because they're so scared of him. So, but then what that also will do is if three go to Pulisic or Ziyech after we played Sheffield, Ziyech got shut out the next game, it allows space for everyone else. And what we did with it was cross it in for their gigantic centre-backs to then head it out, rather than playing it through the middle. The amount of times this season I've seen and watched Timo either in the middle or on the left, running in behind, waiting for the pass, and either it doesn't happen or they spot him late, and then he gets caught offside. But he's pointing. You watch him. You see him pointing and start running. No one's finding him. It's one of the reasons why I'll defend him to the death, because he's making the runs, he's trying to get in behind these teams when there is room to do so, and no one's giving him the fucking ball. The brace he scored against Southampton should epitomise how Timo Werner plays. How did he score his goals against Southampton? Pass into him, he dummied it. But what he did was he drew the defender in and spun him. And then he bolted in behind. Got the goal. His second goal, running in behind. Now, to be fair, it was Jorginho. Chip over the top, lob the keeper, goal. Many of his goals, besides the penalties, all of his goals have been when you've played it into him and he can either spin or run into it. All of them. We need to start playing to some of these players' strengths. We really do. because we've got the players to do it. We can mix it up. And people aren't realising that. If we have a pivot, right, of Kante and Gilmore. Kante, right, I know he's had a shocker lately, but it's probably because he's half dead with tiredness. He can sit in front of that back four, right? Billy can be the quarterback playmaker. Everything goes through him. Kante sweeps up, gives it to Billy. That's your job. Done. Billy can then spray it out to Pulisic left wing to charge at defenders. He can play it to Kai to then play in Werner through the middle, or he can play it to Ziyech, depending on who's up front, to then cross it in. We can mix it up. Everything will then be fluid. We won't be predictable. What a save. Dubravka's just made a brilliant save. But yeah, like, Billy can be the centrepiece for everything. And then we've also got the likes of Reece James, who can cross it in from the right as well as Ziyech. We've got Chilwell, who can cross it in from the right as well as from the left, sorry. Pulisic can put in a decent cross. So Ziyech can also cut inside and hit with his left. Look, we've got so many options. So many. So many players that can do multiple things brilliantly. The one thing we won't have if we play Werner, and it's probably the only discrepancy on his game, I think, is his hold-up play and his height. He's not a tall, big striker. But you don't need them to be successful in the Premier League. I'm not being funny. You look at Aubameyang. Yeah, he is quite tall. I'll give him that. But what gives him I know he hasn't scored much this season. What gives him his goals? Running in behind. Vardy. What gives him his goals? Running in behind. You don't need to be a big, tall, brick shithouse like Giroud is. You can be... Another example. You look at Callum Wilson from Newcastle. He's not the biggest striker, but he's quick. They play him in behind. Saint-Maximin. Again, another Newcastle player. Now, I know they're not really scoring goals, but people rate Saint-Maximin. Why? Because they utilise his pace. Adama Traore is another one who is brilliant because of his pace. Werner can be exceptional. One, we need to play him up front. And two, we need to start playing it in behind so we can run onto it. Now, I know against every team that's not going to be an option. Against a Fulham, for example, who we actually play next week or midweek, whatever one it is, they'll sit back. Right? Let's be real. They're going to sit back, two banks of four, and it'll be hard to break them down. So then play a Tammy or a Giroud. But what I'd do is I'd play Werner next to him. Pair him. So that then Tammy or Giroud, or like, it will be one of them, let's be real, they can then chest the ball, bring it down, play it to Werner in between the defenders and give him a shot on goal. I don't want to see him shoehorned in at left wing. Now, I know, like, needs must lately because of injuries, but at the end of the day, he is a striker. We paid, nearly 50 million for him to be a striker. We didn't pay 50 million for him to be a shoehorned left winger. We need to start playing him up front. And I know tomorrow might be a bit of an exception because, as I said, Jude is in the academy, is in the first team from the academy for this game. And I don't know if he's going to be starting or if Werner will be, but at the end of the day, we need to do something to help Team Mo get back in form. We have to. And I was thinking about this the other day. As it stands, I know I spoke about it at the beginning that the banner's going up about we trust Lampard and all that. And that we should give him time. As it stands right now, I'm actually kind of glad there aren't fans in the stadium. I really am. Because they would be booing and slating Werner and Havertz and Lampard, and they don't deserve it. Havertz and Werner, people need to forget they have only just come to the league. Now, Havertz typically does better in the second half of the season. You look at the last few seasons in the Bundesliga for Leverkusen. At this stage last season, I think he had 4 goals and assists. He's already doubled that. 4 goals and like 5 or 6 assists already. But anyway, the second half of last season, he did a lot better. The same as the season before. Did a lot better in the second half of the season than he did in the first. And I think it'll be the same this season. He's silky and smooth. And as I said, I mean, I don't think he's been as bad as people are saying. Yeah, every player goes through a poor bit of form. But what people forget is the severity of the symptoms he had during COVID. Now, I also agree with what some people are saying when they say if he's still suffering from COVID, because obviously he's testing negative, otherwise he wouldn't be playing. But if he's still feeling the aftermath of that, don't play him. Let him, get back up to full fitness. But then what? People then go, where's Havertz? He can't win. Lampard really can't win. No matter what he does, someone is going to slag him off. Oh, drop Kovacic. So then we put in someone else. And then the first thing that gets asked if something goes wrong with his replacement, oh, why didn't you play Kovacic? It's like, but you just asked for Kovacic. To be dropped, sorry. The amount of people who sit there and go, oh, get rid of Mount. This is all basically social media, by the way. Oh, get rid of Mount. All right. So he drops Mount. And then the next game, we've got no press. Nothing. Nothing to pressure the other team into giving us the ball back and making a mistake. And then people go, why didn't he play Mount? The fans you see on Twitter are so fickle and so flip-flop, it's unreal. It really is. And if they were in the stadium, a lot of them would be drowned out by the sound of the support from these players. But at the end of the day, their voices would still be there. Because let's be real. There are millions of fans that support Chelsea. And it's only it's more than a handful, obviously. But in comparison, I'd say it's not even 1% that are arseholes. That are absolute arseholes. Towards players who are playing poorly, or Lampard or whoever. And they're the ones that seem to get heard, and they're the ones that seem to get all the attention. And I wish it weren't like that. I know I'm guilty of like mentioning them and whatnot myself. But it's tough. It's tough to see, because how can anyone say, now, as I've said before, if people can give me a valid reason as to why they want Lampard gone, I'd be like, you know what, fair enough, that's your opinion, you're entitled to it. But if they're just spouting out Lampard out for the fucking clicks, then go and support another team, mate. Because if you really gave a shit, or if Chelsea are your team, why would you be saying that about our greatest ever player? Like, it just don't make sense to me. Now, as I said, if they're just spouting it for clicks, if they've got a genuine reason, and whether I agree with it or not, if it's a genuine reason, I'd be like, you know what, fair enough, you've justified your opinion, go for it. And this is what I was saying. Like, me and my dad were having a discussion about it the other day, the Karen Carney incident, because he is a Leeds fan. And we both agreed on the same thing, and it was that it was her opinion when she said that Leeds got promoted because of COVID, and she backed that reasoning up, or that opinion up, with the reasoning of the season before. So Bielsa's first team, when they missed out on promotion, when they missed out on promotion, they didn't get promoted because they got tired at the end of the season. They got worn out. So her saying she thinks that the COVID break was a factor in Leeds coming up is a valid opinion, whether people agree with it or not. But the abuse she got because of it is totally unjustified. People, as I said, you can agree with opinions, you can disagree with opinions. That's the joys of a debate. But there's a debate and then there's abuse. Like, I don't understand some people. And it seems like every fucking week, or every time I do one of these podcasts, it goes back to the same subject. Because that's social media now. Oh, I've got to send someone the biggest amount of abuse to get the biggest amount of clicks. A lot of them don't mean it. Let's be real here. A lot of them don't mean it. It's purely just to get noticed. That's what it's for. Because the other thing as well, like, all these dickheads that are sitting there spouting their racist hate and homophobic or sexist hate or whatever it may be, the abuse that some of these people fire out, all faceless accounts. Because if they were that fucking genuine and believed it, they'd have their own account on it, wouldn't they? But they're doing it for clicks, and they're doing it just because people talk about them. And it, as I said, it works. But when people like Karen Carney are having to shut down their Twitter account just to stop the abuse coming their way, you can't just sit there and ignore it. Because then what happens? They then think they can carry on doing it, or they do it more to try and get a reaction. And at the end of the day, as I said, I wish we didn't give these people that reaction. But that's the world we live in now. Like, for example, you can't even have a fight anymore. Like, a fist fight anymore. Someone always has to bring a knife to it. You hear it all the time. People getting stabbed. Like, a situation happened, and if the rumours are true, a girl got her boyfriend to stab a 13-year-old kid because they had a disagreement. And it happened in London a couple of weeks ago. Like, you can disagree with people and not either abuse them or kill them. Like, it just don't make sense. It really don't make sense. And I hope to God we can get past this. And I hope that when, I'm going to move it back to football here, when I hope when all said and done, that Lampard is the right man to take us forward. I believe he is. Many believe he is. Hence the banner that's been bought. But we'll have to wait and see. But that is going to be the end of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you did enjoy it, I was going to say give it a thumbs up then. This ain't YouTube. if you did enjoy it, please give me a share around. It would mean the absolute world to me. Give me a like on Twitter if you see if you click the link from there. Give me a follow as well if you want to. I retweet a load of random shit half the time, mainly about football. But I will be back after the Chelsea game with a review and hopefully, if it's done in time, a match draw. I might actually record it during the draw. I don't know. Just so I can give you the live draw as it happens. I'll figure that out later. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all stay safe. And I will speak to you in the next one. Goodbye.